Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. What is the government planning to spend money on? It looks like there's a bit of infrastructure and a bit of at-risk youth there. Mental health days, is that actually a thing? And is it all right to eat things on your way around the supermarket? But before any of that, weather, although it's not news, it's worth playing back when it's Rachel Smalley's brother.
G'day, Jace.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
I'm good, So, what's happening on the farm at the moment? What's the weather doing?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit chilly. It's been, it's hung around most of the day. It's supposed to clear later in the day, so fingers crossed that's going to happen. We've got, we've certainly got enough snow on the ground at the moment that it would be nice if it's disappearing by the morning, that's for sure.
Have you... You lost power earlier. Are you still without power?
No, still no power at the moment. The lines company boys are charging around at the moment, so they'll be doing their best, but we're pretty remote, so there's only four or five houses off the end of this line, so obviously makes sense that we're a lower priority. I think there's been some quite big outages around the Central Plateau today, so...
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be working well into the night.
What's going to be for dinner then?
Yeah, not sure. I haven't thought about that.
It's pretty rugged high country where the farm is. How much snow have you got?
Oh, probably. It's quite unique, this particular storm. We haven't actually got any around the house or down on the flats, and yet I suspect we've got probably 20 or 30 centimetres at the top of the property. So every storm's quite different. This one was very well forecast, and so pretty easy to prepare for. And yeah, as I say, it's supposed to move through quickly, so as long as that happens, we'll be in good shape.
How much land have you got? I can never remember.
Well, it's about 3,000 acres that we're farming.
Right, okay. So you've got about 30 centimetres of snow in some places. So have you moved any of the sheep or the cattle? I know you've got some ewes that are pretty heavily in lamb at the moment.
Yeah, we've as I say, it was well forecast.
Oh, is that right? So they forecast some bad weather, which happened in winter when it normally does, and you were prepared for it. How very newsworthy. All right, I'm going to leave my weather cynicism behind now, and let's talk about things the government will be spending money on over the next little while if they get the chance. Things like at-risk kids.
Here's the overriding question of all for me. Is throwing money at a problem necessarily the best way to deal with it? In some cases, the answer might be yes. In some cases, no. But it's a fix-all, isn't it, from government? Doesn't matter who's in power. Doesn't matter who's promising things for an election. Throwing money at something is not necessarily the best way to fix it. Throwing more money at health isn't necessarily going to make a difference. Throwing money at education is not necessarily going to make a difference. If it's, well, they always claim that there's a shortage of money. We haven't got enough money to do something. The answer is you're misusing the money you've got. And in both those particular sections of the community, I would say that they are wasting money, both education and hospital boards.
Here's my point of view. Some problems can definitely be solved by throwing money at them, like not having enough money. That, you know, I reckon, because that's a problem I suffer from sometimes, and if somebody threw some money at that problem, I reckon you'd fix that right up. I wish they'd throw a bit more money at the infrastructure situation, because there's a lot of traffic out there.
The council is now even more in debt, but without some interest on 300 mil. I'm not sure that all the ratepayers will like that. Remember, that $300 million debt will sit around glowering on the books. It'll be noticed by all the other lenders to the city. Same with Hamilton's Bridge. This is not free money. It's a bit sort of like whoopee-doo, to be honest with you. The Auckland deal will create 60,000 houses, that's for sure. But at the moment, the city needs 14,000 more a year. So in 5 years, the problem is right back where it started from. Apparently, what Auckland really needs is $4.5 billion, not $300 million. And that's not even looking at transport, which needs $20 billion. There's other strange things in the handout. All the developments in Auckland, Hamilton, Tauranga and Queenstown are on the edge of the cities, which has ramifications for congestion and roading, which the government and council will have to pick up the bill for down the track. For instance, Papamoa Well, it's going way down south. State Highway 2 will be under more stress. You're going to have to fix that up as well. So this is not the end of the government's liability. In Hamilton, they're going to have a new suburb called Peacock at the very southern edge of the city. So State Highway 1 from the city to the south, well, that's already a mess. That's going to need to be fixed up as well. In Auckland, the money will be spent on an area called Red Hills. This is out west. Surprisingly, that area was never part of the unitary plan. So I wonder, is the government overriding the council's plans? And, of course, you're going to have to fix State Highway 16. Look, the thing I'm trying to say about this fund is it's just a little bit of sticky tape over a festering wound. It's actually a pretty pathetic response to some plain realities. And people are saying that the Auckland housing prices are coming down, that the bubble is starting to leak, maybe burst. No, the housing crisis in New Zealand has only just started. We're all going to have to pay for it sooner or later. And we're not letting our lesson.
If the government is overriding the council's plans, it does make you wonder, why do we have councils? What's the point of them? Just throwing that out there. Controversial, Glenn ZB. Now, some people take mental health days. Is that really on?
I'm an employer.
Yes.
Have seven employees and started a business quite a few years ago, but pushed myself so hard about 3 years ago, hit the wall and fell into the big black hole. And you know, there was no sick days off. There was, you know, I had other families to feed. I had to be here. We were in manufacturing. I had to be here, run projects, deal with clients, and all I wanted to do was run down the road.
Yeah.
And there's commitments to leases on buildings, your house is on the line, you've got clients you build huge relationships with were on the line, and there's no running or hiding from it, you know. So it's a horrible place as an employer to be with if that happens to you, and I bet you there's people listening right now are in the same position. Yeah.
So what did you do?
You know, you get up in the morning, you have a vomit.
Just from the stress?
Just the huge stress.
Oh,
the massive. Just the stress, yeah. You know, go to doctors. Doctors try different medication that blurs the whole picture even worse. End of the day, I had one doctor said to me, you need to go and do a mindfulness course. And I reluctantly went along because, hey, you know, I think I'm a typical Kiwi bloke and, hey, I don't need to do that kind of crap. But I got a massive out of it. A massive thing about how to be kind to yourself, how do you treat yourself, how to take time out and calm yourself down, how to notice the signs of stress and deal with it, and avoid situations that, you know, putting yourself under that pressure, and then learn the fact that there's more to life than running a business and trying to make a buck, you know.
And will you ever find yourself in that position again now that you're aware of this?
Yeah, I think now I've got the tools in place.
I don't understand why he doesn't just do what I do and drink heavily. That's the healthy way to deal with this stuff, isn't it? Shouldn't joke about these things, Glenn ZB. Well, I joke about most things, if I'm going to be totally fair. Now, Marcus had a disturbing revelation for us last night.
Got myself in a bit of trouble at the supermarket today. I went to get some mandarins. Yeah. And, gosh, there was a couple of boxes of cooking plums from America, $1.10 a kilo. I looked at them, I thought, $1 a kilo, $1.10, would they be worth eating or not? So rather than actually going right around and buying one and trying it, I kind of took a bite of it then and there. So I took a bite of it, it wasn't that nice, I don't know what to do with it. So slowly I finished it and I thought, well, I'm on camera having stolen and eaten this plum, what do I do now? So I said to the woman at checkout, I said, I've eaten a plum. And she must have been 16 or 17. And she giggled nervously. And nothing else was mentioned. So I'm not quite sure what to do about that. But anyway, Pack and Save, I owe you 10 cents.
So obviously she was a victim of Marcus's celebrity there. And he's pulled her into a twisted web of deception. She's an accessory after the fact now. She'll probably get fired. It's all his fault. I hope he's happy with himself. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I do sometimes think maybe there should be a checkout earlier on in the supermarket so you can purchase things to snack on as you make your way around. Because you know how you buy your secret chocolate bar, don't you, at the end of the shopping that nobody ever really has to know about? They should put those at the beginning and have a checkout that you can pay for them at the beginning and you could eat those on the way around. And wouldn't that make the supermarket shopping a lot more fun? I think so. Ideas. See, that's a Glenn ZB idea to finish the week on for Newstalk ZB. I am Glenn ZB. More amazing ideas just like that probably on the weekend edition on Monday.